Welcome back to the Shir in Likutei Siches. We are learning volume 13, the second Siche for Parshas Matos. Parshas Matos begins with a description of the battle against Midian. Midian had been involved in a plot to ensnare the Jewish people into immorality by parading the daughters of Midian and thereby enticing the Jewish men into znus, into immorality with them. And as a result, there had been a plague in which 24,000 people had died. Now, the Bnei Yisrael were meant to strike Midian for their part in this plot. They went to war, 1,000 people per tribe, for a total of 12,000 soldiers, and they won a decisive victory against Midian while not taking one casualty. They come back with a great deal of spoils, over 800,000 various cattle, sheep, donkeys, camels, all sorts of things, and also a certain number of slaves. And now there's a special instruction as to how they're meant to divide the spoils. That one time, Hashem instructed that these spoils were to be divided between the soldiers who went to war and the general population of Bnei Yisrael. So when they came back from the battle with the spoils, Hashem says to Moshe that they should divide the spoils as said, and from each half of the spoils there should be a different kind of tax. From these soldiers there should be one in 500 of the sheep, of the cattle, of the donkeys, etc. 1 in 500 should be given to Elozor, the Kohen, and from the other half of the spoils, which went to the general population, 1 in 50 should be given to the Levim. The pastor concludes that Moshe and Elozor did as Hashem commanded Moshe. That is the chapter of the instruction of Hashem what to do with the spoils. Then there follows a long description of precisely how much of each type of spoils they brought back. So there was 675,000 sheep and 72,000 cattle and 61,000 donkeys, etc. And then the Pasuk tells us, so how much does it work out that 1 in 500 would be? And it says the precise number for each of them. Then it says how much was the other half that the population got? And it says the precise number again. Same numbers as before, because it's an equal half. And then it says simply that they took one out of 50 and gave them to the Levim. That's the story as recorded in the Parsha. Now that's the Rebbe is very difficult to understand. Why is it important for the Pasuk to dwell at length on the precise numbers of the spoils and then to say how much the half of each half was and then to say how much was the percentage that they gave from the spoils that belonged to the soldiers and how much was the percentage, how many cattle and sheep did it work out that it's that were given to Elazar HaKohen, and then how many had to be given to the Levim. Why are all these numbers important? Even if it's important to know for some reason how many of the spoils they brought back, why do we have to be told how much 1 in 500 is? We can work it out. If for some reason the Torah finds it necessary to tell us exactly how much was given to Elazar HaKohen as 1 out of 500, why doesn't Torah equally tell us how much was 1 in 50 that were given to the Levim? Now, these are all questions which are on the surface of the psukim. You don't have to delve deeply in order to realize these questions, and therefore these questions ought to have been addressed by Rashi, who doesn't say anything about them. Why not? The Ramban, in answering these questions, says that the reason Torah tells us how much was the half and how much was the percentage that was given respectively is to teach us the amazing thing that happened, that out of all the spoils that they brought back, not one died between the time when they were taken as spoils and the time that they were distributed as appropriate. None of them died. But the Rebbe, first of all, that doesn't help us understand why it's important to know exactly how many were given as the tax. And more importantly, why would Hashem make such a miracle that nothing died? If it's so that the Yidden wouldn't have any financial loss, we don't find the Eibishter doing miracles in order to avoid the financial loss for Bnei Yisrael. The Rebbe explains. Before we get to the explanation, I'd like to mention that the Rebbe points out in a footnote earlier that there were other battles fought. The battle against Sichoin and Oig and against the Kanani. In none of these battles do we find a record of the spoils and how much was taken, how much was given. Why here? So the Rebbe goes into the explanation as follows. Really, there's a bigger question. And Torah, by talking about the precise numbers, addresses that bigger question. And that is, imagine if Torah simply said, and Moshe and Elazar did all that Hashem instructed without going into numbers. We would be left with a very difficult question. In the natural course of things, between all the spoils, the hundreds of thousands, it's completely uncommon, irregular, that the number of each and every type should be exactly divisible by 50 or by 500 without any remainder. So in such a case, since the commandment of Hashem was to take the spoils by the 50s or by 500s. Surely there should have been some remainder. So what did they do with those, with that remainder? That's why the Pasuk tells us exactly how many they were. All the numbers. So that we know that when they distributed it to the Levim or to Elazar HaKohen, either 500 or 50, as the case may be, it was the precise number. There was no remainder. And that's why he doesn't talk about what to do with the remainder. We can't say that this is miraculous, that the numbers were divisible by 50. It's not miraculous. It's just highly improbable. It's a very slim chance that the numbers would be so exact. But it's not miraculous. So we don't have to say that Hashem made a miracle that it would happen that way. After all, why would Hashem make it happen that way, that it should be exactly divisible, such perfect numbers? So the Rebbe explains in the language of the Pasuk, where after the instruction to take a tax from the soldiers, part of the spoils, one out of 500, the Pasuk repeats, of their half you shall take and give to Elazar, one in 500. Since the Pasuk stresses that you take from their half, and it doesn't seem to be necessary to use those words because we're talking about their half, it's clear that Hashem wanted that they should take the tax from the entire number of spoils of each kind. Had the number not been divisible by 50 or by 500, then you wouldn't have a tax from all of them, because the remainder would not have been taxed. And that's why it was necessary that there was the exact number, so that all of it could meet the required taxed for the Kohenim or for the Levim. But, says the Rebbe, still a problem. The process of counting, dividing the two halves, and then allocating one in 50 and one in 500, it had to take a long time. There was, as said before, there were over 800,000 items to count. So how is it, in fact, that not one of them died? Had one of them died, you wouldn't have an equal half for these soldiers and for the population. So surely none of them died, and that's why the percentages remained accurate. That's why the Pasuk specifies but the half that went to Bnei Yisrael, to teach us that the number of the second half was exactly equal to the number of the first half. The number of the second half which went to Bnei Yisrael was exactly equal to the first half which went to these soldiers. And here's something again, very amazing, very wonderful, very irregular, but not miraculous, happened, that in that entire time, none of the people, the servants, nor any of the animals, lahavdil, not one of them died, so that the mitzvah could be performed, the mitzvah of dividing the spoils and allocating a percentage to Elazar the Kohen, or to the Bnei Levi, to the Levim, could be fulfilled exactly as Hashem wanted it. But once you've said that the two halves were exactly matched, the Torah doesn't need to tell us exactly how many were given as the percentage, one in 50, to the Levim. because the point has already been driven home by giving us the total of the spoils, then the two halves, and then telling us that the spoils that were allocated 1 in 500 to Elozor were such and such, that teaches us that none of them died. So the other part, the percentage that was given by Bnei Yisroel, the population, to the Levim, 1 in 50, we can work out ourselves. The Torah doesn't have to specify it. This is the explanation in Pshuto Shel Mikro. According to Halacha, says the Rebbe, we could explain the difference between the Torah's record of the percentage given from the half of the soldiers, which Torah does specify exactly how much each number was, versus the percentage given by Bnei Yisrael to the Levim, where the Torah does not specify exactly how much each one was. We could explain that discrepancy as, according to Halacha, as follows. There are various enumerators of mitzvahs through the centuries. We're most familiar with Rambam's division of the 613 mitzvahs. There's the Chinuch, who usually follows the Rambam. There are some which the Ramban Nachmanides argues on the Rambam. One of the earliest was the Baal Halachos Gedolos. The Sefer is called Halachos Gedolos, Great Halachos. He was one of the first sources to enumerate exactly which are the 613 mitzvahs. We have a long-standing tradition that there are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah, but defining exactly what qualifies as a mitzvah for itself, or what is the subset of another mitzvah, etc., that's a lot of work. So the Baal Halachos Gedolos was, as I said, one of the earliest sources of these Moinei HaMitzvahs, the enumerators of mitzvahs. And he, in his count of 613 mitzvahs, he considers the mitzvah of dividing the spoils of Midian and allocating half to the soldiers and half to Bnei Yisroel, and 1 in 500 of the soldiers' portion and 1 in 50 of the Bnei Yisroel's portion, he counts that as a mitzvah. The Rambam argues against him. The Rambam said you can count that as one of the Taryag mitzvahs. These 613 mitzvahs are permanent mitzvahs, which apply for all time, as long as you have the conditions. But they're always applicable. This was a once-off mitzvah. It didn't apply for all time. Now, so the Rambam is arguing against the Halachos Gedolos. Seemed to be a strong argument. That what was the Halachos Gedolos thinking? So the Ramban, Nachmanides, answers the position, he defends the position of the Halachos Gedolos. He explains that in fact it was a permanent mitzvah. It did apply for all time. And a commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvot of the Rambam says, I don't understand what Ramban is talking about. It says clearly in the Gemara in Menachos that this is not a mitzvah which applies for all time. So what does he mean? So the Noida B'Yehuda of the 1700s, Rabbi Yecheskel Landau, the rabbi of Prague, very well known for his book of response called Noida B'Yehuda, he explained that the portion which the soldiers gave for the Koyanim, that applies for all time. but the portion which Bnei Yisroel got and gave to the Levim, that did not apply for all time, because never again was there such a situation where the spoils of war were divided to the whole population. That was one off. So it comes out that the mitzvah of giving a portion to the soldiers and for them to give a tax to Elozer HaKoyen, to the Koyanim, that's a mitzvah for all time. But the mitzvah of giving half to the Bnei Yisroel and that they should give a portion, 1 in 50 of their spoils, to the Levim, that does not apply for all time. Accordingly, says the Rebbe, now we can understand why the Torah dwells on the details of the tax that these soldiers gave to the Koyanim, because that was applicable permanently for all time. But Torah makes the short work. It addresses only briefly the division of the spoils to Bnei Yisroel, and doesn't tell us exactly what was the tax that they gave to the Levim, because that never happened again. It was once off. That is the understanding of it according to the method of halacha, where we're going into the question of whether it's a mitzvah that is permanent and can be counted among the 613 mitzvahs, or whether it's a once-off mitzvah which cannot be counted. That's according to the method of halacha. Now, said the Rebbe, going back to the Pshuta Shel Mikra, the simple understanding of the story, we have an amazing lesson. Hashem provided that not only at the time of the war, but long before the war against Midian. The Midianites are busy buying and selling and trading cattle, raising cattle, breeding them. And all along, Hashem is orchestrating that the result of all their trade and all their husbandry in raising these cattle would be a number which would precisely allow for the mitzvah to be done by Bnei Yisroel to divide the spoils when they would have a battle, to divide the spoils in half and to allocate 1 in 50 or 1 in 500 respectively to the Levim or to the Koyanim. So Hashem is providing all that long before. It takes a long time for all this trading and all this breeding to happen until they got the number of cattle and sheep and everything that they were taken in spoils by Bnei Yisroel when they went to war with Midian. So what's the lesson for us? Sometimes we're given a job to do, a mitzvah to do. It doesn't look like we will have the ability, or it doesn't look like the circumstances will allow us to be able to fulfill the mitzvah. So we must know that Hashem has been planning this way back. He's been setting it up so that we can do the mitzvah to its absolute perfection. And this has been in the works for a long time, preparing it for us so that we can serve the Eibishter properly. So a person can approach a mitzvah, a task that he does, that he's called upon to do, with absolute confidence that he will be able to, because he sees how the Eibishter prepares, he paves the way for a yid to be able to do the mitzvah that he's called upon to do.